Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I am just waiting to get on the top of the phone tree. I have been rejected from that for about like 7 months straight, and it fucking sucks. You know? I do so much for this goddamn school, and I can't get on the top of the phone tree.
You know what's funny? Is like, I feel like you would want to be at the top of the phone tree just because you're like the first in line. Everybody needs to like, you literally are the first one to receive that information. To the side.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my hell is being at the top of the phone tree.
Why is that? Because
I don't want to have to talk to all those people. It's so much responsibility. I just want, you know what? Tell me less. That's totally fine. Or put me in the middle. I don't care. As long as I'm not responsible for that much. No. This is like PTA level bullshit that I would never want to be involved in.
Well, yeah, you talk about this on some of our other podcasts. It is my dream to be a PTA mom. I just want to be involved. I don't know. Like, they get to do a lot of fun things, like bake cupcakes and fundraise.
Fundraising is fun to you.
Shit 90 no, Shows Taught no. Me but was not filmed before game, live so. Studio audience.
Well, okay, hold up. Yes, I would say that I would do anything to be a part of the wrapping paper fundraiser. I would sell my soul to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Because that seems like a lot of fun. And honestly, that's quality wrapping paper right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Meanwhile, I have resorted to, the past couple times I've had to give gifts, I have not had anything besides oodles and oodles of Christmas wrapping paper. Mm-hmm. And so I've been like, these are just red and green stripes. That's just the paper, you know, here you go. Mm. Happy birthday.
Happy B-Day.
Yeah. Because I'm tired of paying money for something people are going to rip off. And especially if it's not the recyclable type, that I'm even less likely to want to do it because it has the plastic coating. It's going to sit in a landfill for years. And I don't want that for the rest.
I don't know. You know? Like, there's just something so special about something that is prepared from the heart. Like, I was going to say, like, we are releasing this on Halloween Day. Happy Halloween. Yeah. And my dream is one of these days, I want to be the house, the trick-or-treat house that has the little pouches of candy. Yeah. Because I loved that as a kid. And also you get to like give like three things of candy and you don't like, and it's just like, there's a lot of love that goes into it because you have the little paper pouch and you put the little candies in and then you fold it and you staple it.
You could also give a little like crossword puzzle or like word search in there,
something for a little bit of love. Mm-hmm. And I just love it. And you're saying that it's a waste?
No, that isn't a waste in my opinion. That's very limited amount of waste. My yeah. problem is like mostly the plastic based wrapping paper because they can't be recycled. That's my problem.
Yeah. But is it weird that like if I ever buy property, I want to be in a neighborhood that has big Halloween because I hate like all the houses that I've lived in the last, I don't know, 30 years have been like not heavy Halloween houses and nobody comes trick or treat.
Well, the problem is I would argue I live in a place where you would think it would be heavily trafficked for trick or treaters. But mm-hmm. unfortunately, I feel like I have to warn you that like, honestly, I think kind of gone are the days of trick or treating. Like, I don't know that like, I live in the suburbs, like the suburbiest of the suburbs, right near a school, right near multiple schools, and we hardly get any trick-or-treaters. I think it's because beyond, I think COVID really screwed everything up. And then after that, a lot of them now do the like trunk or treat things. And so they're not going house to house as much anymore. It's possible that other places do it. And maybe my town is just not one of them that really participates as much anymore. Yeah, I don't really get too much joy out of handing candy out to trick or treaters. It's not really my thing. But I can appreciate it. You know, people like what they like.
Maybe it's an East Coast thing. Maybe now that I'm a Midwestern girly, maybe it's more prominent in the...
Maybe Midwesterners love trick-or-treating.
Yeah, the Americana states, you know?
Americana, it's, yeah.
Yeah, the... Yeah. We always heard like they would call like the bread basket states, but maybe they're like the Halloween basket states.
You're above the Bible Belt, right? That's lower.
I don't
Let me
know.
See. What? Let me see. What state?
I don't think so, because when I go drive through Indiana, the signs that I see are
you're not in it. So it's okay. Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, Arkansas, South Carolina, Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia, and Oklahoma. So you're missing out. I guess.
Okay, I guess.
You're just above it. You're okay. Missing out by being a little bit too far north, I guess.
Okay, well, am I right that it's a breadbasket state, or did I just make that
let
up?
Let me see. Breadbasket states.
Yeah.
Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Iowa, parts of Missouri and Minnesota.
Parts of Missouri.
So I don't know what parts, but it's, I don't know. What does it mean to be a flat, fertile land?
Yeah.
It is sometimes referred to as the breadbasket because grains used in making bread grow very well here.
Okay, so you know what I learned is that corn, people that grow corn always grow soybeans like right next to corn.
Why?
Because, okay, so like farmers rotate their crops every year, and the soybean dirt enriches the corn dirt, which enriches like a dirt that gets skipped, which enriches the soybean dirt, which enriches the corn dirt. So, like, they rotate. So, they're friends. They like to grow.
That's adorable. They're little growing friends. Yeah, soybeans
and corn are compatible.
Wow. You learn something new every day. And all of this because we started talking about practical magic.
Oh, yeah.
Which we haven't talked about yet, but we're going to talk about practical magic, which is nothing to do with the breadbasket states or the Bible Belt because it's a New England movie. But it has to do with Halloween. So, you know, there you go. You're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. So, basically... We are here because I love this movie. This movie has been one of my favorite movies. I know I said that about The Craft, but like, I really, really love this movie.
Well, both are cult classics. So,
yeah, I have been obsessed with this movie since I was a young child, so much so. And how, like, I loved Nicole Kidman that, you know, those dolls that you can make to look like you?
Yes.
I did not make a doll that looked like me. I made a doll that looked like Nicole Kidman in Practical Magic. That's how much I loved Nicole Kidman in Practical Magic in this movie. I was a big fan, huge fan, love it. And I don't know if the algorithm is algorithming, but everybody this year is finally talking about Practical Magic. Like, I am seeing it absolutely everywhere. And I was like, Miss Jessica Sterling, like, if we're going to talk about it finally, then this might be the year to do it, because I don't know why, but everyone's talking about Practical Magic. They finally got clued in that this is the movie to see.
I have only gotten one TikTok about it. That doesn't necessarily mean anything because our algorithms are very different. But I will say I had only seen this movie for the first time last year, year, whenever we watched it together. I think it was last year. So I watched it. This is the second time I've seen this movie. I liked it the first time well enough. Like, I mean, any movie that has like Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman, like, hello, Stalker Channing, like, yes, please give me more. And it's like a very fun movie. This movie falls into the same bucket as so many other movies before it that I have mentioned, where when I was a kid, anything that is Halloween based equals scary. There are scary parts in this movie. Like, if you're a child and you're watching this, like, I would be very scared of everything that happens with Jimmy. But, like, it's not spooky, spooky scary. It's not horror scary. You know, there's no blood. There's no gore. There's nothing really that bad. But I really do enjoy this movie. And I think it's obviously mostly because of Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman. I love their bond. like something about the fact that she calls Jillian like Jilly Bean. I don't know. There's just something like so adorable about it.
Yeah. So if you, I mean, I think that like anybody who is listening to the podcast knows, but or have seen this movie, maybe, maybe not. So this was a book written by, or this was a movie based off a book written by Alice Hoffman from 1995, the novel of the same name. I rented it from the library last year. The movie is, of course, so much better, but there's three sequels to Practical Magic, one of which, The Rules of Magic, is was a Reese Witherspoon book.
Isn't that exciting? No kidding.
Yeah. So I, and essentially, it's a sister story, and I just find it so endearing. Especially because I was thinking, and I was like, how many sister movies are there out there? And of course, one that comes to mind is like A League of Their Own, Frozen, I would consider a sister movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think, I mean, I just don't know how like very earnest like sister movies are out there. And I really like it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that they make such a strong pair. They're both very different, right? You have Sally, who she sees what happens to her, you know, her family, like her mother. Mom. Yeah, her mother's husband, their father, dies because of this family curse. And then her mom dies basically of a broken heart. And she never wants that to happen to herself. So she casts the spell that basically is like, I only want to fall in love with a guy who has like two different color eyes and like all this other stuff that feels very impossible. And then it turns out that like the, you know, the aunts put a spell on her and she falls in love. And this is to me one of the more, there's two very iconic moments in this movie, both related to music. One of them is the scene where Sally falls in love with her first husband, and it's This Kiss is playing, and she just like runs into town with like her cute little farm girl outfit, and she just like immediately just like leaps into this guy's arms and makes out with him.
Yeah, so it's really, I think that you're right, like the music to this movie is so good, it's so iconic. It has a few Stevie Nicks songs. It has a Joni Mitchell song, a Faith Hill song. The soundtrack is extremely good. I've always liked it. And then, of course, in a bit, we're going to talk about the creme de la creme of the soundtrack.
My favorite,
but, yeah. But yeah, so it all starts out with this curse set by their ancestors, Maria, because in like the Salem witch trial days, and basically Maria kind of was like a hoe bag around town, but it's fine because like
she, you know what, let her hoe around town if she wants to.
Yeah, so she's like getting with all the little like Protestant men, and the wives are like, screw you, but they're also on the PTA committee of their own, the hanging committee, and they try to hang her, and she's like, haha bitches, I can't be hung, I'm a witch.
Yeah,
and then she thinks that her husband, or the guy that got her pregnant, her love, is going to leave the wife, and he does not. And essentially, she's so heartbroken that she puts a curse on her own family that no Owens woman is going to be hurt by another man ever again, because if they do fall in love, then this Death Watch Beetle is going to start chirping it up, and they're going to get murdered. And that's what happened to Sally and Jillian's mother and parents. Basically, they're living a happy life, and all of a sudden, he just dies out of nowhere. And then her mother, quote unquote, dies of heartbreak, which she took her own life, essentially, because she couldn't handle it.
Listen, this is so fucked of Maria to do, because you're not screwing over the men. Like, you are because they die. But, like, you're screwing over your own ancestors because they're going to be fucking heartbroken anytime they fall in love. And then some dude just drops dead.
Like, it was very short-sighted of Maria. Yes,
it's very fucked. Like, maybe you should put a curse on all men. And then we could start talking, you know? But this is just so fucked.
Maybe, like, the opposite. Like, maybe, like, you put, like, a love like gift upon your family that they'll never fall in love with a sucky man. How about that?
Yeah, that, yes, maybe that's it. If you fall in love with a problematic man, he dies. Yeah. If you fall in love with someone worthy of your love, he is allowed to live.
He's, yeah. I mean, I think that's the issue. I think that sometimes you just don't know how, like, the nuance of the spells. Like, it's exactly what Diane West, Aunt Jet says, be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, it very much is like read the fine print on mm-hmm. your contracts, because yeah. like, this is how they get you. And so the biggest problem is, right, so then we get to see, and we get to see, like, Jillian and Sally live with their aunts after their parents die. And we get to hear the infamous children, which,
yes, okay, so basically everybody in town, they've lived in this fucking house for centuries. Everybody in this town knows that these people are witches. So then, century to century, we get this chant, and it's witch, you're a witch, you're a bitch.
Yeah. I mean, not particularly inventive, but I mean, it's catchy, sure.
It's a very catchy chant.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Of course, like, this really scars Sally, and they watch their aunts end up putting a spell on this woman who's, like, obsessed with this guy and wants him to fall in love with her. And I love the differences of how Sally and Jillian interpret this, right? Sally is like, I never want to fall in love. This seems awful. I'm going to put this curse on me so that it's impossible for me to fall in love, basically. And Jillian, being the chaotic monster that she is, mm-hmm. is like, now this looks fucking fun.
She's like, I can't
wait. Some more of this.
Yes. Yeah. So exactly. She is like a little drama monster. Like, and we see very early on that Sally has like really strong natural gifts, and Jillian is not as gifted in the magical arts, at least right away.
This is always the way it is, though, Sarah, right? Yeah. That, like, I feel like the one who always has the most power, like, within themselves are never the ones who want to use it in the beginning. And every form of magical character on television, this is always the way it is, that the people who want the power don't necessarily aren't, like, the best to wield it, and the people with all the power are people who are like, nah, magic's not for me.
Exactly. I know. And I think that it just, I don't know. Like, I think that if I were the magical gods, then I would be like, yes, I want to give like the strong power to somebody that's not going to use and abuse it, or else we're going to get like a Nancy situation from The Craft, where like it's just power hungry and crazy. We don't want that here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so Jillian's very, very excited to fall in love. And so then we're like in their teen years, right? Like, Jillian is like off eloping. She's off in Los Angeles, like, again, hoeing it up, having a great time, partying down. And yeah,
she's like a little party monster. And yeah. Sally's like nose in the books. Like, you go have fun. Like, I'm going to miss you. And then they do like a secret blood oath, which, you know, my favorite thing in the world is secret blood oaths.
Yeah, but this, like, okay, there's something just so, like, toxic and, like, unhygienic about a blood oath.
No, it's a blood oath. It means everything. And plus, they're sisters, you know?
I guess so. I wouldn't just do a blood oath with a rando, though. You know what I mean? Like, you really have to trust them. And also, just stop cutting your hands, please, if you would. Like, people that do blood oaths, let's touch feet. Let's touch arms. Cut our hands up.
I think that you need to do hands.
Why? That's a terrible. You use your hands all the time.
Because you can't hold feet.
You could put your feet together.
Creepy.
Although that seems bad too, because you have to walk on your feet.
Yeah.
So what if we did like, because you use your pinky finger like the least, right?
Sure.
If we cut a little spot on our pinkies and then put our pinkies together.
All right.
Like a pinky promise, but with blood.
Yeah, I think that could work. I think that'll pass the vibe check.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Jillian spends her time, like, again, hoeing around all over the place. And
she's, like, engaged to all the time. It seems as though, like, she really attracts the men, and that's part of her.
Yeah, but not the men you want to attract.
Not good men. Not good. No. I'm sure she broke a lot of hearts of decent men, but she basically is, I think that she, her gifts are like a little bit more, I don't know, like social. Like, I think that
she's a social butterfly for sure. She's the life of the party, you know?
Yeah. But I think like Sally's gifts are more like practical. Like, she can start practical fire magic by blowing on a candle.
Yeah.
Sally, I mean, Jillian can do that. Like, she can only like hoe out and it's fine.
Well, she can hurt people. We'll talk about the PTA meeting later. Yeah. But like, but yeah, so this is when we get the like this kiss moment where we see Sally and her aunts walking through town, and they end up casting a spell on Sally and Michael. And that's when we get the this kiss moment where they kiss, they fall in love. And I love the little like montage we get of their, and like the little letters written back and forth between Jillian and Sally all about like how they're spending their time and their lives and everything. And obviously Sally lives a much more like settled down life. She gets married, she has two girls, and Jillian is still partying. She's like living her life up, and
they're both happy at this point.
Yes. And I love the scene, and I don't remember what song is playing. I have to see, again, the soundtrack is really good, but I'm having trouble remembering the exact song. I love the scene that to me, a good movie shows doesn't tell all the time. And I love the scene of it's Michael and Sally and their two kids, and they're in a little conga line, and they're like dancing and singing, and Sandy B's hair is like whacked out. I don't know what they did to it, but it's very much like they're just home playing. Like, it's not, she's not all done up. You know what I mean? And I loved that because I was like, yeah, that looks like familial bliss, you know?
Yeah. They're very, very happy. And I think it's something that Sally never thought that she would get, but it's definitely something that she needed. Like, she needed a family life, especially since she lost her parents super young. And I think that the aunts, although were meddling, they tried to do good. Like, they tried to make her happy. Like, she was like sitting at home, just like very skeptical. And they didn't mean for, I don't know. They didn't
know this would be like a long-term love, right?
I guess so. Maybe. But they said that they had to use a lot of molasses in the spell so that she would open her legs. But like, they wanted her to, they wanted her to be happy. And of course, as things go in this family with the curse, she starts hearing the chirp of the beetle, and she is like, so she's upset, but there's nothing that can happen because a curse is a curse. And Michael gets hit by a truck, which is horrible, and all those apples go everywhere, and it's just the worst.
Yeah, it's terrible. I felt really bad for her. The scene where she hears the beetle like in her floorboards and she's like prying them up and like flipping out is really sad. And then of course we see like all the apples go like flying everywhere when Michael gets hit. And so Sally brings her daughters, and like they're gonna live with the aunts, and she, like, when she realizes, it's like, oh, you were the ones who cast the spell, she says, my daughters will never learn magic.
Which is so, once again, typical. I'm trying to think of, it's very Halloween Town. It's giving Halloween Town.
It is giving Halloween Town, yeah. And it's like, yeah, so she, her, and of course her kids, like, they want to know magic, you know, like, magic is fun.
Yeah, Kylie, so her kids are Kylie and Antoinette, and Kylie is, like, the spitting image of, like, Jillian of Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
And who is played by Evan Rachel Wood, by the way. Such a young little Evan Rachel Wood, which is wild. And then Antoinette is like a little button. You know, her features take more like Sally. And Kylie is just like, once again, like, just in personality and looks very Jillian. And she really wants to learn magic. And she's like very resistant to like her mom putting any restrictions on her because she's a little party animal. And I think that like Sally definitely goes through it. She like goes through a bout of depression. She's like really upset. And the only thing that really gets her to come around is Jillian coming back home.
Yeah, I loved this. I really loved Jillian's return because, like, she just – I felt like they really did a good job with, like, the sisterly bond in this movie because she, like, just crawls right into bed with her sister, and she's really the only one who's able to properly console her. And I think the show – or the movie does such a good job at being, like, doesn't matter how much time has passed, how much distance is between them. They have this, like, unbreakable bond between them. And they'll do anything for each other, right? So says the blood oath. And yes. And yeah, so she tells Sally all about this man, Jimmy. Jimmy is a bad guy.
He's really, really bad. He, like, and when she first describes Jimmy, she's definitely like, he's so dark and mysterious. And he's like, I think he's Bulgarian, and he's like a vampire, and like he, like, the sex is crazy and our love is crazy and all this stuff. And Sally's just definitely like, okay, like, that sounds great for you, Jillian, like, have fun. And I think that she just thinks that he's just gonna be another disposable man like everybody else in Jillian's life. But he winds up hitting Jillian when she goes back home, and she's had enough, and she calls Sally for help. And of course, once again, as true sisters do, they show up for each other. And this is kind of where the movie takes off, because he gets aggressive and basically kidnaps the girls, like, holds them at gunpoint and tells them to get into the car and drive. And he has Jillian around his arm around her neck in the back seat. Sally's driving in the front. And I forgot to mention before, like, Jillian had mentioned that, like, he's, like, so obsessed with her that sometimes she has to knock him out with belladonna to get him to go to bed, because if not, he'd be, like, trying to, like, fuck her all night.
Yeah, and it's because she put, like, a love spell on him or whatever.
Really?
Isn't it? That's what I gathered.
No, I think that he was just crazy.
Oh, see, I thought that she, because of the, I don't know, because anytime we've ever seen love potions work in any media, it's always like they become obsessed with that person. I thought that Jillian had done a love potion on him, and that was why, or love spell, sorry.
I wonder, like, I've never thought about it that way. Like, I kind of think that, like, in my mind, maybe it wasn't intentional, because I feel like Jillian's, like, pheromones are just, like, crazy, and maybe, like, guys just flock to her.
Interesting. I mean, it's certainly possible.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But yeah, it's really funny, because so then Sally has to put the belladonna in his, like, tequila to sedate him. But my favorite is when they, like, they kill him, and Jillian says, "How much did you put in?" And she's like, "I didn't have a measuring cup, Jillian."
Well, yeah, because at first she's like, "You didn't put enough in." And then she, like, is like, "You put too much in." It's like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never done this before. And he winds up, what they think is dying, like, that he doesn't. He's not breathing. So basically what is going down is, like, they're both freaking out, because, like, obviously Sally's worried about losing her girls. Jillian's just like, I don't know what to do. But she remembers that Sally asked her aunts if it's possible to revive Michael when Michael died. Is his name Matthew? Whatever.
No, Michael.
Michael. And essentially, you can bring somebody back to life, but they're going to come back, like, as a dark force, like something that is unnatural and, like, you know, it's not going to be the same person. Mm-hmm. But Jillian's like, well, he's already unnatural and dark. Like, it's going to be no different. So the sisters go and do the spell, and it seemingly, I think, is working. But then Jimmy wakes up and starts choking. Jillian.
Yeah. And
then they kill her with him with a frying pan.
I love the scene when they attack him. It's so funny. Yeah. It really is. Like the frying pan is such a comical way. Like it's such a cartoonish way to kill somebody.
What do you do here? Like, I feel as though they needed to just go to the cops. I'm like such a big advocate in media when something like this happens, like when I saw in like Pretty Little Liars or Pretty Little Liars Original Sin or Pretty Little Liars. But I always see in media, like, why don't you just go to the cops? It was self-defense.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe I would have said the same thing a while. I just don't trust cops now to not immediately arrest me. So I don't know that I would just bury his body in my, especially not in my front yard. Like, I feel like the move is to take him far, far away or put him in the water, because like fire and water are what erode like bodies better. So I feel like that's probably like,
where did you learn this? You're disgusting. It's
science. What do you mean?
Are you like a secret murderer? Why do you know how to erode bodies quicker?
Because I've seen a ton of television. So like, I wouldn't bury him in my garden. No. And I love that, like, right after they do that, it's like one of the daughters is like staring out into the garden. Like she knows something. And is this where, I'm trying to remember when is the tequila time? Is it then? Is it right after this happens?
So the aunts definitely know something is up. They have the sixth sense. So they come down. They're surprised to see Jillian there because like she hasn't been home in a while, but she has like this big black and blue from when Jimmy hit her. So they spend the night that night like having a bit of fun. And obviously the sisters, Jillian and Sally, are not being honest with their aunts about what happened. Mm. They're being very like secretive about it, even though the aunts know it's something's going on. So they have a margarita night to try to loosen up the gears and get them talking. And yes, basically this is the infamous put the lime in the coconut drink.
My favorite scene.
It all up. Damn, where were we when we were talking about the lyrics?
What do you mean, where were we?
I mean, we're probably on a podcast, but
you put the lime in the coconut, you drink them all up.
I think I remember where I was trying to say, like, drink the bowl up, and it like made no sense.
I'm looking at she put the lime in the coconut, she drank them. Oh, I think it's she drank them both up.
Oh,
but it's said with a silly accent, so it's like,
right.
She put the lime in the coconut, she drink them both up, she put the lime, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely a bop. And they do the conga line and they have a great time. I think that some of the memes that I've been seeing online, it was like, when I say that I want to be a witch, I mean like I want to be a witch that drinks margaritas in the middle of the night.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I want this life. I want to dance around and drink tequila with Sandy B and Nicole Kidman, obviously.
Yes. Yes.
But like, I remember, I think you told me or I read somewhere, I can't remember, that like the actresses were actually like drunk in this,
yes,
in this scene where they dance.
And they got drunk because they were real margaritas. Nicole Kidman brought the tequila and they were pounding down margs. What a great time.
Yeah, it seems incredible. Mm-hmm. And
they
so
get
yeah
sloppy drunk. They get sloppy drunk and they start like, as close friends and family can only do, start hitting it where it hurts. They're like, Jillian, you have no skills of magic, but you definitely are a slut. And like, Sally, you are such a fucking prude. Like, we had to like put so much work into that love spell for Michael. And they basically are just silly bitches. And finally, Sally realizes that they're drinking the same tequila that Jimmy like had. Mm-hmm. And she's like, where'd you get the tequila? And the answer, like, cut the bullshit, tell us what's going on. And they don't, and they're basically like, well, then if you're not gonna be honest with us, deal with your own issue. And they bounce.
Yeah, they leave. And then of course, like, this guy's just buried in their freaking garden. Next day in comes Mr. Copman Gary, who, look at that, has heterochromia, baby, which is one of the things Sally put in her spell about, I'm only going to fall in love with a guy with two different color eyes, which, ma'am, not specific enough, because a lot of people, like, it's a pretty rare condition, but there are a lot of people who have heterochromia.
Sure. I mean, I think, was it one blue, one green? Like, she was a little bit more specific.
Yeah, she was specific about it. But yeah, he shows up and he's looking for Jimmy, who turns out is apparently a serial killer, which in my mind, I'm like, this guy seems pretty sloppy to be a serial killer. But like, all right, okay, I guess that's why he's getting caught.
Yeah. So like, he had this girl and essentially he wound up like choking her out and branding her with his ring, which he tried to do to Jillian. So they're on the hunt for the ring and they're on the hunt for Jimmy, and the girls do a really fucking shitty job about hiding their evidence. They are
the worst, so guilty.
Sally feels like she can't lie to him, like just off the bat feels like she can't lie to him. Jillian is like doing a terrible job herself. They don't have their stories straight. They were like, he asks about the car and they essentially were like, that's our car. And he's like, well, it's registered under Jimmy's name, so it's not your car. And like, they're
clean
like,
up your evidence, ladies.
They're like, oh yeah, it's not our car. They're like, you know what? We know what we did. We are criminals. We stole Jimmy's car. But it's just sloppy. And he is very suspicious of the ladies. And this starts the investigation where he just like goes around town and investigates the sisters and hears like a whole bunch of rumors. Some are true and some are not.
Well, yeah, because we kind of talked about this a little bit about their, like, because of the family's legacy in this town, they're known as like the witches, right? Like Sally even has a little shop that she opens and Jillian helps her with. And
like a Rose's apothecary shop.
Basically, yes. And like her kids are getting picked on with the same stupid, like, witch, you're a witch, you're a bitch. Like,
and
the
then
same
little
thing.
Kylie puts like a chickenpox spell on the kid.
I loved that. Get him. He deserves it. And yeah, and we didn't talk about the scene because Jillian, she is a bit more sassy. She is a bit more willing to just use magic openly and not really give a fuck what people think. And this is very typical, like, toxic women cattiness that is portrayed in the show, where it's like, oh, she comes into the school when they're talking about the whole phone tree situation, and she goes, and it's like, she comes in, it's like, oh, that's the girl, oh my god, that's one shit. They're like whispering about her, and she goes and stands next to Sally and she's like, that's right, ladies, watch your husbands. And she does this weird like hip wiggle and thrust.
Yeah,
and I was like, get it, Jilly, get it.
Yeah, she definitely is like, I will take your men, I will take your boyfriends, watch out for me. But she taunts them because obviously I think that they remember when she was a teenager, she was just like probably a heartbreaker. This is like the type of town that's like, you went to the school, your parents went to your school, your parents' parents went to the school, like it's centuries and centuries. So we see the phone tree bit where essentially Sally gets to be number one on the phone tree, which was, I'm very proud of Jillian for doing that. I didn't realize she had those sort of powers.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how her powers work, but she basically rewrites all the papers so that Sally is like the voted number one, and she hurts this one lady who's sitting in front of whispering.
No, Sally did that.
Oh, Sally did that. That's right. And so, yeah, so it's, I don't know. I like those smaller moments because it just proves, like, again, this, when we get to the end, like, this is a feminist movie. That's why I feel like this and The Craft do have cult followings, because they do age fairly well when it's like, hey, believe women. Also, can we just have women working together instead of trying to cut each other down, right? Like, that is what the Salem witch trials were all about. Like, basically cutting down women and calling them whores and being like, oh my god, you're disgusting, we're gonna, it's like, it's toxic masculinity at its fucking finest. And we ruin it, we kill it with The Craft and Practical Magic.
But like women, because I mean there was a lot of like religious tones in the Salem witch trials, so women did attack other women, and it was usually like, you know, people of lower status and that didn't follow their religion as well. So we definitely get Gary doing his investigation, And he's like honing down on in on the girls. Like, he knows that they did something. He doesn't know exactly what, but he knows that they did something. And essentially, Sally eventually comes clean. And he's like, you need a lawyer. And she's like, I don't want a lawyer. And he's like, you really do need a lawyer. And she is like, I did it. But also, he was very obsessed with the letter that was sent to Jillian from her. So we're feeling vibes. Do you like this love story?
Yes. Yes, but I also felt really bad because like I got so invested, even though we saw him for like 0.25 seconds. I was so invested in Michael because they had such that big romantic moment.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I guess I was very invested in him. I mean, yeah, I guess the other guy's fine. Again, like, now I'm just like, oh, he's a cop. Oh, whatever. But, like, he does help them out. So, like, he's fine, ultimately. I don't know. Where do you stand on him?
I mean, I do like it. I've always liked their romance. I think that I never, like, thought, oh, I wish, like, Michael was still around because, like, he's dead, and the curse got him.
The curse got him.
The curse got him. There's no walking back from that. No. Truly. But I always liked it. I do kind of find it curious that, you know, so there, the spell itself, it was like he has to be able to flip pancakes. He has to have one green eye, one blue. He has to be kind. And he has to, I'm trying to remember what the other thing is. But, but it's like, once again, it's not like, oh, his favorite shape has to be a star. It's not like,
I'm sorry. These are like, these do feel like a child's picks. You
know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. It's like, I want him to have good credit. I want him to make more than $500,000.
Yeah. I was just going to say, year. I would pick different things, but girl, yeah. You do you, I guess.
What, I mean, what do you want? What's like three things that you want your perfect man to have?
Okay. Gosh. Okay. I'm going to choose things that aren't basic because like obviously like a sense of humor, right? That's like an easy mm-hmm. one, but that's not anything that is like definitive enough.
Yeah.
I think I would say has to have a beard that is yeah. at least like a half an inch in length.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So not like not 5 o'clock shadow, you know, has to have a
sure. beard. Yeah.
Oh, you know, a very specific thing.
What?
Cannot have a second toe that is longer than the big toe.
Oh, I heard that means you're a witch.
I mean, well, again, Sally doesn't want witches. So
yeah,
there you go. And has to have hair that when grown to a length of like 2 inches or 3 inches gets a little curly. See, that feels like very specific.
Okay. All right.
What about so you? Whatever just- you're. What are
you're just like
things?
A big hair girl.
Hair's important.
Yeah. So you wouldn't date anybody who's bald.
I hate to say no, but also I've never dated anyone who was bald and I feel like I would have a tough time with it.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
I kind of feel like, I know you said no sense of humor, but like somebody that has the ability to make me laugh when I like, even when I'm like crying. Like okay. if I'm having yeah. like a hard time, like can get me out of it.
Yeah.
I would say maybe like has like freckles that like if you like filled in, it was in the shape of a star. How about that?
That's excellent because it's very specific.
Very specific.
That's excellent.
Yeah. And then
like I know another one.
Okay, tell me.
Because it weirds me. Okay, someone that when they close their mouth, their teeth don't show. Okay, so like, do you know like Napoleon Dynamite? Like how he can't like yeah. close his mouth without his teeth showing?
I once again feel as though like the majority of people don't have their teeth showing when they close
exactly.
their mouth.
I'm ruling out, weeding out some of the people.
You're weeding out. Right. I mean, I feel oh, though at this point.
Detachable earlobes. I don't like when earlobes are attached to their head. It's weird.
Oh, I like really like detachable ears just like really sent me spiraling for a second.
Oh, I should just pull off their ears.
I was like, what? this is such like, you're like such a cursed witch. I don't know. I think that's I think I need to really like think a little bit more about what my perfect guy is. Mm-hmm. For so long, I was just like, yeah, like lower my standards, you know, like I need less standards because I just need like a man. But now, mm-hmm. now that my standards are higher, maybe I just need to really think about it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. I think the problem is we're trying to use like little kid standards because she makes such specific requests.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like there's a lot of men that can go under this jurisdiction, but whatever. So like, I kind of wish that, like Gary wanted to come on his own accord, because I do think that everybody like deserves that, especially since like a little bit of like Michael is skewed because it was a love spell.
Yes.
That's the only downside to Gary. But I mean, like, of course, I'm like supportive of their relationship.
I mean, he is pretty handsome.
Yes. This so actor. Who is this actor? Who is he? He is.
Aiden Quinn.
Aiden Quinn.
He's from Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, so like maybe the Arizona bump was part of that. He was in Benny and June, which is a 1993 Johnny Depp movie. I mean, he's still a working actor, but it's not like he does anything that like prominent,
yeah,
or impressive. No offense, man.
I don't think he's listening, so I think it's fine. But yeah, so she's starting to like fall in love with him. And all the while, again, they're trying to like hide this murder situation, except the problem is suddenly freaking Jimmy's spirit basically like inhabits Jillian's body.
It's all fun and games with the margaritas until you get literally possessed by your ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great.
It's definitely not great. So essentially the ants come back and then they have to do this like resurrection. No, not resurrection. What is it called? Poltergeist?
It's like an exorcism.
Exorcist. Yes, that's what it is. Thank you. An exorcism of Jimmy from Jillian's body. And guess what? The phone tree comes back in, because even though everyone was nasty bitches in the entire town, they love the goss. And they're like, you know what? We will come and check out the house and help you out with this because we are curious. And we want to be in on this. So everybody in town, all the meanies, all the mean moms come and help, and they all have to bring their brooms, and they go in the circle and start doing the chant. Like I said, the ants come back, the kids get to come and participate, and they start doing the chant, and it's working, but Sally realizes that like Jillian's not doing so hot. She's really, really sweaty. Her hair's really, really messy, and it looks like she's like dying, because she is. And they're like, she's like, stop. And basically she almost gets attacked, and then Jillian like gets like blasted into the middle of the circle because the protection spell is working. And then basically what happened was Sally's like, I know what to do. I need to cut my hand again, and your hand, and the sister blood oath bond is going to fix all of this.
Yes.
And it does.
And it does. And this is what I'm talking about when I say like how feminist this movie and The Craft are. It's like, it takes all the women coming together and working together. And I love this, because suddenly the sisters and the family, they're not ostracized anymore. Like, everyone seems to be having like a really great time. And so after all of that happens, it's like the town actually gets along with the family, and the detective guy, Gary, he does a good job of clearing the sisters of suspicion and
of the crime. Because situation. You know what the thing is that, like, he saw the spirit of Jimmy. So it's not like he's like, well, you know,
yeah,
I saw him. He wasn't dead. They didn't kill him. But then
serial killer. Like, are we really missing him? You know what I mean?
I mean, that's what Sally says.
I'm not telling you to murder people, but, like, if they're serial killers and they go missing, like, you know, who's gonna be mad?
I mean, not me, but also they're kind of mad because then they can't prosecute him for the other murder. That's the you want them alive.
That's fair.
So that the girl can get justice.
But also self-defense.
It was self-defense. It was 1,000% self-defense.
She didn't have a measuring cup. She didn't know how much belladonna to put in.
Well, Jillian, okay, like, Jillian didn't tell her. Like, they were talking, I think, like, the blood oath bond also helps them communicate from far away or, like, silently. And Jillian did not give instructions. She just said, the belladonna is in my bag. Put it in the drink. And she didn't say, like, put in
half a cup. Yeah.
Or, like, put in, like, a tiny, tiny pinch. Like,
we need measurements in our recipes.
Yes, or else your cupcakes are going to come out flat and you won't know why.
Exactly.
And your knocking outs is going to wind up killing somebody.
Exactly.
It is a classic problem.
Can I ask you, when you were a kid, who was your favorite? Was it Jillian or was it Sally?
Jillian.
Interesting. Is she still your favorite now?
I think I like them equally, which is, like, kind of like a cop out, but I mean, I don't know. Like, obviously I, like, relate to, I don't know. I think I kind of relate to both of them, except for the fact that, like, I'm definitely more like a homebody, like Sally, but, like, I think that, Jillian, like, really, like, there's a quote that she says, like, when after all this happens and Sally's talking about Gary and is like, what do you think that I would do? And, like, Jillian says something along the lines of, like, I would do anything for love. Like, I would, like, you know, take so many risks. I would, like, jump in blindly if, like, for the right guy. And I kind of feel like I have, like, more of a romantic, like, sense of love. Than of, like, kind of like Jillian's, more so than, like, Sally's, like, very like, she's, like, more resistant. Like, I think that I'm easier to, like, fall quick.
Yeah, I think you're more monogamous like Sally, but have more of a fantastical view of love like Jillian, probably.
Yeah, but and I do like margaritas a lot, but I don't want to be hanging out in the desert partying all day.
No,
I would
rather be in Massachusetts. I definitely like Sally more. The way Jillian acts makes me very anxious. Like, she puts herself in very precarious situations and, like, stresses me out a lot. I'm also a homebody, so I don't want to be, like, flitting to and fro. I'm not much of a party animal. But I agree with Sally. Like, if I found out that my husband and I only fell in love because of a love spell that my aunts did, I'd be, like, pissed off. I'd be like, how fucking dare you, the audacity of you to cast a spell on us, because now you're trying to tell me that, because then I think you question what actually was real about it. You know, like, that's what brings her to say to Gary, the only reason you're here is a spell. Like, we're not actually in love, when that's not necessarily true. Like, it could be both, you know, like, there. Yes, maybe the original reason Sally and Michael fell in love was because of the spell. But that's unsustainable for, like, 20 years. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, he didn't live that long, like 10 years, whatever. Like, that's not going to last that long. Like, maybe that's the original thing that was the impetus of you getting together, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's what kept you together for that long.
I would hope so, because it just makes me so sad that, like, I don't know, their love wasn't real and it was just magic. And I think that that's why Sally's so offended by the thought of all of this, because it's like, so you're telling me that my love wasn't, like, authentic, like, that all those years of happiness was manufactured. I would be very disturbed by it as well.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I definitely feel like I enjoy Sally more. Also, it's like it's so hard when it's like Sandra Bullock versus Nicole Kidman. It's like they're both just so iconic. So
was it? Well, I mean, both of them were just so gorgeous in this film, but, like, Sandra Bullock was, like, so breathtaking.
I know. And they both have like that very like witchy long hair and then obviously yeah. like very iconic hair colors as well. So that like they yeah. really purposely made Kylie look exactly like Nicole Kidman with that like bright, bright, bright red hair.
Yeah.
But I just love that it really is like a story about women. Like it really is like mm-hmm. a woman's film. And I like so appreciate that. Like it's a witchy film, but it's I feel like it says a lot, like even on the jokey side, you know what I mean? Like it still says a lot about what it means when you pit women against each other versus bring them together for a common cause.
Yeah. Yeah. And it also just like talks a lot about like a sister's bond and mm-hmm. a family bond
and curses
and the curse. yeah. Gosh, are you afraid of curses?
No, I know you are. I don't subscribe to curses. Mm-hmm. Like I wouldn't, I'm trying to think like, I'm really not even that superstitious, to be honest.
I'm very superstitious.
Yeah, I know. You have cursed socks that you won't throw away. Did you throw them away when you moved? Did you bring them?
I don't know where the socks lie.
Oh my God.
And I don't know what happened to them. I don't.
Are you afraid they're going to find their way to your dresser drawer and curse you?
Kinda. Well, I mean, yeah. I'm trying to put away the superstitions and I think like I talked to you about this, but like once I went on Zoloft, I became a little bit less superstitious. That's so I good. Think it was just anxiety.
Fair. Most things in my life, I look back and I'm like, was that this or was it anxiety? And 9 times out of 10, it was just anxiety. Pick a little bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely was a little confused, but whatever.
Yeah.
I do think, I mean, like, if I heard somebody put a curse on me, I would just be horrified. I would be so scared.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I guess it would depend on who the person was if I would be scared or not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do I think they're capable of putting curses on people?
Do you
like,
know
if anybody? You put a curse on me, I'd be yeah. a little scared.
Oh, yeah.
Not super scared, but, like, mm-hmm. a little scared.
Yeah, I am a little scary if you get on my bad side. But
yeah, in general, I would say for sure. I don't know. Who's scarier to be on the bad side of? That's a good question. Between me and you, who are people more scared to be on the bad side of, do you think?
Oh, goodness gracious. I mean, I've heard opinions of myself, but I don't know. Like, you get loud. And I would probably yeah. just murder your entire family.
I think that's the problem, right? I think if you're afraid, what you're afraid of is like aggressive behavior when someone's mad at you, be afraid of me.
Yeah.
If you're afraid of someone silently killing you and ruining everything about your life, be worried about Sarah.
Yeah, that's true. And it's just like, what is
she's going to be a sneaky bitch about it. I'm going to do it to your face.
Yeah. But I don't like loudness. Like, that's scary to me. Like, So
it's a wonder we're friends.
I don't know. I think that it's just the classic when opposites mm-hmm. attract.
Yeah. So but I really do like this movie, and I think it's a ton of fun. I think like it works so well for what the story is that they're trying to tell. Like it
yeah.
I feel like it's funny when it needs to be funny. It's not mm-hmm. overly scary, which is something that I'm not a huge fan of in scary movies. Like I think it's just scary enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
work well.
And you're afraid of the Jimmy stuff. That's the scariest part.
I mean, it's creepy. Like you know what it is? Yeah. It's more so. I find as I get older and just generally like being a woman, it's more existentially scary for stuff that I don't like. So like the threat of Jimmy as someone who could overpower me and like you know hurt me, that to me is scarier than him like coming back from the dead. Because it's like a realistic scary that like is something in the world that happens.
Yes,
so that is more scary to me. Yeah. And like you know, obviously that's different than like you got your horror movies with the gore and the blood and the guts and you know that stuff is whatever. Like you can overlook that. But yeah, I don't like the threat of Jimmy's in general in the world because it's scary and sad and people get put in those situations every day and it's really really tough.
That's and very true.
We don't all have Sally's to put Belladonna's in our Jimmy's tequilas.
No, we don't. We definitely do not. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing that we covered 3 Halloween movies this year for Halloween. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that Addams Family is probably your favorite. out of the three?
Well, let's see. So we did Adam's Family Values. Yeah. We did Practical Magic and we did The Craft.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if I was to pick which one am I most likely to rewatch the soonest, Adam's Family Values is going to be my favorite. But I think all three of them are really good movies.
Oh, look. Okay. So you're happy.
I'm very happy. This was like a very successful Halloween. Listen, we didn't watch Halloween Town, so automatic success.
I did ask if you wanted to watch Halloween Town 4, and you said no.
I ain't got no time for that, you know?
You ain't got no time for that. Okay, yeah. Fine. I mean, what happens if the people are clamoring? I don't think
we would have already heard if they were clamoring.
True. Okay.
No one's clamoring.
No one's clamoring. Now, do you want to talk about Winona November?
Yeah, I do want to talk about Winona November because we're going to have to put a poll out to see what people want us to cover.
Yeah, I'll be out on the first. So what are our options again? I know it is number one, the Beetlejuice.
Yes.
Number two, Edward Scissorhands.
This is correct.
Number three is...
I'm trying to find. Hold on. I'm in the wrong. I know I have it. Here we go.
Some other movies that probably won't win the poll.
Mermaids. And Girl Interrupted.
Yeah. So
those are our options.
Let us know what you want us to watch. Are we covering one Winona movie or two?
I think what we'll do is we'll promise one. If they get two, they get two, because I'm like partially on vacation into November and then I'm coming back and we'll see how crazy my life is, I guess.
Yeah.
Is
the answer. I'm actually traveling a little bit in November as well.
Hey, look at you go.
Just around the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. Going to the Bible Belt. Going to go to the bread bakery. What was it?
Yeah, I'm going to Indianapolis. And I'm also going to Wisconsin. And I think we're also going to stop by Chicago. So
it really is devastating that you don't like cheese more, because it would be so much better of a trip to Wisconsin if you liked cheese.
Cheese literally smells. I don't like it that much. In the best way. It's
okay. So yeah, just to give an update to everyone on like our coverage, we're going to be finishing up Freaks and Geeks in November, I believe. We're going to have Winovember. And then once I get back from vacation, mid to late November is when we're going to start Felicity. So then come December, we'll have more bonus content. Obviously, Christmas content is the name of the game in December, along with Felicity coverage. And then possibly we'll have some news for the new year. But you're just going to have to wait a couple months for that. And I think that's everything. I think that's like an update on everything. We got a lot going on.
Always that's busy. It. Mm-hmm. That is it. All right. Well, catch us, Shit90spot on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. You can find me at Sarah Ferguson. You can find Jess at The Jess Sterling, and all of your coverage at Post Show Recaps. Mm-hmm. You're a busy bee. But until next Halloween, let the spooks be with you, I guess.
Yeah, don't forget to practice a little black magic. Just ask. Shit90shows
taught me. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.